So we're continuing with yesterday. So I guess we should review the facts and the svara quickly from yesterday. Okay, so we're gonna build upon that. So let's just get that clear. Okay, so the basic facts were that by oaf you only need one semen. Okay, you only need to cut one of the pipes. Question is which pipe? So one position of Nachman maintains you could hit either one. Doesn't really matter. One or the other. Right? So we said he hold that the Gzeiras HaKasuv by Shechita is that you just need a mixas. By Oaf is you just need a mixas. Mixas Shechita. You don't need a cut. Shechita is two simanim and you just need to cut mixas. Right? You just need a mixas. So one or the other is a mixas. Right? Two simanim. What's the difference between them? Either way, you do a mixas, which is one simanim. But the other position says no, it's bedavka the vasha. Okay, your only shchita of a oaf has to be the food pipe. He says why? It says echad. He says no, echad means the miyuchad shebisimana, means like the primary, special one, choice simon. Why is it choice? So Rashi says because the major chias, the ikar chias, the life of the animal, is contingent upon the on the vasha. Why is it contingent on the vasha? Because it says even a tiny hole makes it into a trefa. Tiny hole in the food pipe makes it into trefa, but a tiny hole in the windpipe doesn't. The windpipe, it has to be a rovol, right? So therefore you say that that the main lechias is teleinet, and therefore that when you say that you have to cut one simen by an oaf, it's that simen. Maybe just cut the it's the miuchad shebisimanim. Right, specifically the vasha. But if you cut the kanelon, it's not going to work. Right? Okay. So that was a fact. So he said, what's the svara? Oh. So he said, the svara is that. Okay, so the svara we said yesterday is that how do you learn. What's the idea? We said, what's the idea that the Ikar Chiyas is telling the Vasha? Just because a tiny hole makes it a trefa, who cares? But bottom line is, an animal needs them both. An animal needs both the Vasha and the Kana. So we said, no. That since a tiny hole will kill the Vasha, so therefore on a practical level, the Chiyas of an animal is contingent upon a healthy Vasha. Whereas on a practical level, the chias of the animal is not contingent upon a healthy kana, because it could get a little hole in the kana, it's not going to make a difference. So therefore, practically, if I'm trying to maintain the life of the animal, then my primary concern is with the vesha, and the secondary concern is with the kana.
Even though they're both going
to
die instantly.
Even though if I were to remove the whole thing of either the kana or the vesha, it would die. But that's true. But in general, forgetting about removing the whole thing, that's in general. Forget it. Just if I'm guarding my animal, I know that the smallest nick in the vashet of the animal is going to kill it, but the smallest nick in the kana is not going to kill it. So therefore, they're more primarily concerned. That's what Rashi says. Ikar doesn't mean look at chias. Really, they're both. Chias is really contingent on both, but the ikar chias, it's primarily. It's more primarily tied in with the vesha, because I have to make sure any little hole in the vesha is going to kill it, but a little hole in the kana is not going to kill it. Right, so therefore, the ikar chias is telling it. Of course, this is before it comes to shchita. Just in terms of you analyze the simanim, okay. Irrespective of shchita, you say that one simen, the vesha is a simen which I have to protect very, very carefully because its life and death is contingent upon any little nick in it. As opposed to the kana, which is true, if I totally remove it, it will die, but it doesn't demand, the life is not contingent upon its perfection. A little hole in it is okay, you can handle that. So therefore, its maintenance is less significant. It is, yes, I have to make sure it doesn't get a major cut, but its significance is less, its maintenance is less significant in terms of the chias of the animal. Okay? So therefore, what we're saying is that it's a miyuchad shebizimana. Is more primarily tied in with the chias of the animal. So that being the case, chav chas, I'm an aleph. Yeah, so that being the case, we said that's what Rav Avi Barava maintains, is that when the Torah is telling you that one siman suffices by oaf, it's saying that you don't need to cut both simanim, but it suffices to go for the major siman. You don't need to go the nose. In terms of chiyas, the major siman is the vashat, and the other than the food pipe and the windpipe is the secondary. So it's saying is that it's enough to go for the miyuchad shebisimanim, the primary siman, the major siman in terms of the chiyas and the animal.
No, but I was saying it has nothing to do with how
quickly
the animal dies.
No, not do that the animal dies in shchita. He's just saying is that since there's two simanim in terms of chiyas, there's a primary one in terms of chiyas,
okay,
and the secondary one. Now the Torah is limiting it to one,
yeah.
So he says it's limiting it to the major one. Saying is that shchita only has to be on the major siman. If you don't buy behema, you have to go all the way. Namely, you have to knock out the major and the minor siman, that which is major in terms of chiyas and that which is minor in terms of chiyas. But in terms of oaf, you don't need to go all the way. It's sufficient just to do the major. But Rav Nachman argues that it's true in terms of maintaining the life of the animal. I have to primarily be concerned first with the Veshet, then with the Gana. But insofar as the Maisa Shchita is concerned, Maisa Shchita is making a big cut in the thing. And insofar as Maisa Shchita is concerned, cutting the whole thing is going to kill it, either way. So it's true, you'll say that the Veshet... No chairs. Yeah, it's true that you'll say that you can get one from there. Yeah. It's true that you'll say that the veshet is more significant in general in terms of maintaining the life of the animal, but insofar as the Maisa Shechita is concerned, which is creating a cut of more than 50%, so then there really is no difference between the cut and the veshet. They're 100% equivalent. So therefore, he'll say, is really the Iker primary secondary is not relevant, and rather, Zeres HaKasav of Shechita is telling you that all you need to do is one siman. You don't need to do two simanim. It's enough to do a mixas. Right? It's enough to do a mixas. Try to prove one way or another.
Which, how far down did that
fall? Rechav Chasim and Aleph. Jumping to the, like, it's like almost 8-10 lines from the bottom. Tashma, Ketzer, Malkin. Okay? This is a star. Okay, Rechav Chasim and Aleph. So Tashma, Ketzad Molkim Chatasov. So how do you do Malika on a Chatasov? Okay. So Malika is basically a process which when you have a carbon of an oaf, so you don't use a knife to do Shechita on the oaf. Rather, the Kohen uses his fingernail, his thumbnail. He holds the bird, and he pushes his thumbnail through the back of the neck of the bird. Okay, and by the olas of oaf, he has to knock out, he basically breaks the neck bone, this back bone, and both simanim. Right, he's basically cut the whole out of it. And by the chatas, it says lo yavdil. He only cuts one simanim, he doesn't go to both simanim. Okay, so the Gemara says, ketzad molgen chatas oaf. How do you do the malika? So Malika is this action with your thumbnail on a chatas of. Chatas is again, you do one siman by chatas. Chotech shedra umafrakas below rov basar. So he says you cut the neck bone and the backbone, but not the majority of the flesh around the backbone. I think as the Gemara says, if you get the flesh around the neck bone, let me see, is there Rashi here? Below rov basar, Rashi says, it says on the second white line, Kedamrim Perakama, the Chatech Rov Rochav Abasar Imam Afrekas, Kodim Lasimanim. If you cut a majority of the flesh of the with the neck bone, okay, then the Afrekas is the neck bone and the Shedra is the spine. So if you cut a majority of the flesh of the neck bone, Havil Amesa Kodim Chatichas Lasimanim, then it will die. So I don't know exactly what it means, the flesh of the neck bone, but whatever. Apparently it's flesh of a neck bone. And if you cut a majority of it, then the animal's going to die.
Don't you cut the pipes before you get there?
No, because you come from the back. And there's Malika, the Malika, you come from the back. Yeah, Malika, you come from the back. You go,
and
you hold it.
You not cut the flesh, then?
I guess you'll get a majority of it. You get some of it. I don't know. Maybe you get from a side or something. Somehow you don't cut a majority of it. Okay, I don't know the anatomy and how exactly the fingernail goes or whatever. But that's what he's saying is a fact. Apparently it's possible. Okay. So well, because if you do cut a majority of it, apparently if you cut a majority of the neck bone's flesh with the neck bone, then it's going to die instantaneously. And then when you get the simanim, visu my malik. And then apparently the malika is by when you get to the simanim, that's where it really becomes a malika, right? So now it turns out you're cutting simanim of a dead animal. So that's not a malika. And apparently it seems like it's interesting. It's like really it sounds like the malika is on the simanim, but it's like the way you access the simanim is through going through its neck and its backbone. So it's saying is that if by the time you access the simanim, the thing is already dead, then it's not a very good malika, because you're not doing anything. It is working on a dead animal. They're learning that. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, basically, he finds that's what you do. So let's keep going. So the Gemara says, so how do you do this? So you chokes shedra mafrekes korob basar. So you basically put the coin puts his thumbnail through the backbone and the neck bone without a majority of the flesh. Ad shemegila vesha, until he reaches the vesha at olakana. So I guess it depends on where he's coming from, but until he reaches either the windpipe or the food pipe. He gila vesha at olakana, and when he gets to there, chotech simen echad, virov basar imo. And then when he gets to the pipe, he cuts one of the pipes, either one, and the majority, and then he ends up getting the row of the basar also, the majority of the flesh of the neck. But ola shnayim or row shnayim. And when it comes to an ola, he has to cut a majority of both pipes. So what does this prove?
It doesn't matter which one.
Right? Because Gemara's kasha was which simon do you have to kill to knock out by an ola? Is it either one, like Rav Nachman, or is it specifically the food pipe, which is more vital in terms of his life, like Rav Adarav holds? But you see, this Brisa openly is saying when it comes to Malika, you go through the neck and you get to one of the pipes, and it's whichever one, and by Chatas, you do whichever either pipe. So you see, there's no halacha that when it says that you have to do one pipe, it doesn't mean the primary pipe. Right? But it means any pipe, but just simply a mikzas of the shchita. It's not saying that shchita is two a primary and secondary chiyas, and it's sufficient. All you have to do is the primary, you don't have to do the secondary. Rather, it's just saying is there's two equal pipes, and they're both involved in the shchita, and if you do mikzas of it, it's sufficient. So it doesn't matter which one. Right? So that's a proof. So what's the tiyuvta? You're right. It's a tiyuvta of tiyuvta d'ral barahava tiyuvta. So knock him out. Right? So it sounds like game over, right? So now the Gemara asks, Mayavela? Now, what does Mayavela mean? When you see the Gemara says, it's a common phrase in the Gemara, it means, how do we paskin? What's the conclusion? What comes of it? It's like, well, what's the conclusion? It means, the Gemara asks it, is if the Gemara is a whole Shaka Vataya, there's the back, forth, whatever. It says, okay, bottom line is, how do we paskin? Ma'avela. Right? So, here, it's a funny thing for the Gemara to ask. The Gemara says, Ma'avela. What's the psak? Get the commerce? What do you mean? We just had a tiyavta. We just proved it. Right? I skipped a few of the proofs. The Gemara had a few attempted proofs that are knocked out. But this proof, the Gemara says, tiyavta. He knocked it out. It proved that Rav Barba was wrong from a Braisa. The Braisa says that you can do either seven. So how does then the Gemara then, right afterwards, ask, well, how do we paskin? Right? So the Gemara itself asks it. It's like, it's funny the Gemara writes, but the Gemara asks, well, how do we paskin? So how do we paskin? What do you mean? We just said how we paskin. We just knocked out one of the sides. There's no further question. So the Gemara says, no. Dilma shiny hasam, deika shedra uma frakas. It says, maybe, that's different. Okay, maybe by Malika, that's when it's sufficient to cut one or the other. Because by Malika, you are also knocking out the neck bone and the backbone. Neck bone and the spine. And therefore, it's sufficient to do either the primary or the secondary semen. But by shchita, which goes from the front and doesn't go through the neck bone and the backbone, it just goes right for the simanim, then maybe you'll say the Torah demands that you go for the primary simen, the vesha, that which is more primary in terms of maintaining the life of the animal. Right? Rashi. Dilma, three lines on the bottom. Dilma Malika Shiny. Deika Chatichas Shadra Uma Frikas. Right? Because there's you're breaking the neck bone and the back bone. Azulech Yusei Becholdo. And therefore, the life of the animal will go away with a little bit. Therefore, it's sufficient to cut the minor semen. Right? Because it's like ready to die. You already knocked out the kind of the neck bone and the back bone. So now the Torah is minimalistic about what it demands. But if you just do shechita, which is from the front, and that's the very first thing, you're just cutting the semen, then maybe you'll say the Torah demands the primary semen, the vesha. Right? Right. So what it's saying is you can't really prove it. Right? So you may ask, why did Gemara say Tiyuvta then? Right? Because Gemara a second ago just said it's Tiyuvta. Right? It had a machlokas and it says, I'll prove it to you because this case of Malika. But then it puts it up, a knockout, and the Brahma's gone. Right? So the Rashba answers that question. He says, no, Rav Adda Brahma really held Malika and Shechita are identical. He doesn't differentiate. And originally the machlokas is really across the board, Shechita and Malika. And the Gemara therefore knocked out Rav Adda Brahma, because you see by Malika it's enough just to do the Vesha. But then the Gemara is just saying, okay, now bottom line is how do we paskin? It's very nice rather than I was knocked out, but maybe we hold that you can differentiate between the two. So therefore it doesn't conclude in terms of psak. But it does knock out rather Rava. That's the way the Rashba explains, which kind of makes sense, you know. Okay? But what emerges is, I think, one thing we have to explain. One new thing we have to explain, which is the logic to say that when it comes to differentiate between Shechita and Malika, and to say that by Shechita, the Torah demands the Vashat, right? The food pipe, which is primary, and by Malika, it's you already did the neck bone and the back bone, it's sufficient to do either one. Right? I think we just have to, you know, based upon the way we're understanding the Salma focus, to try to fill in that third position. Okay? The Rashba's understanding it as follows is that it's a tiyuv of the machlokas was factually both by Shechita and Malika. Rada Brava says Shechita and Malika demand specifically the Vashat. And Nachman says no, agree either one. Right? Now you have a Braisa that says by Malika that you could do either one. So that knocks out Rada Brava. Rada Brava holds that both by Shechita and by Malika, you, the Dafka, need to do the Vesha. So he's gone. So Tiyuvta, Rada Brava, Tiyuvta. So that's it. It's all over. Machlokas is over. But now the Gemara is saying, okay, fine. But he's gone. You know he's wrong. Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Rav Nachman is right. Because all we know is that by Malika, you can do either one. But Rav Nachman's saying by Shechita also, either one will work. But that you can't prove from the Braisa. So the Braisa is sufficient to reject Rav Adda Brava, but it's not sufficient to support Rav Nachman. So that's what we're saying. It's Maya Vela. Could you bring a support from a Braisa that Rav Nachman is correct? Or can you bring some support that Rav Nachman is correct? Maybe there's a middle position. And that's why the Gemara is interjecting, bringing up the possibility of differentiating between Shechita and Malika. But apparently, Rav Nachman and Rada Bar Ava, the Gemara is holding, the way the Rashba is learning, didn't differentiate. They just sell Shechita and Malika, same thing. What's it come from? The front, from the back? There's no difference. It's an accidental difference. Use a knife, use a fingernail. Simanim are 100% identical. But the Gemara is bringing up another possibility that these are different. So that's what I'm saying is like, we were previously just ignoring Shechita and Malika, who really cares? Bottom line is primary semen, later semen, whatever. But now the Gemara is bringing up the possibility that really there is room to differentiate. Right? It seems like the Gemara is learning on the simple pshat is that essentially Shechita and Malika are the same, but on one of them you're using a knife And here, the Kli is the goof of the Kohen himself. And as such, you want to, it's good to come himself, for that maybe practically that you come from behind then, and this when it's the knife, you come, I don't know exactly why the direction. But it's saying essentially it's learning they're identical, because they're both Chaticha Simanim, and they're both, now it happens to be it's true by Oaf, by Ola's Oaf, the Torah is Machayev you to go all the way. Even though Shchitas Oaf is enough to do one, but that's just the din that Ola, the Torah demands a separate halacha that you're Mavdil the Rosh, that you have to go, you have to do both Simanim. Rashi says, but Ola Dubai have Dala. Okay, so then you need to cut both of them because it's a separate halacha. By Ola, you have to be ma'avdil the head. Ma'avdil the head, so you have to get both of them. But essentially, he's learning, the Gemara is learning, that, I mean, at least the Havmina, I mean, maybe not if it's Gemara, but the Gemara says it's assuming that Shchita and Malika are almost the same thing. It's just a matter of the implement is different, and, you know, in certain accidental differences which come along with it. Now the Gemara is entertaining the fact that maybe, since you're doing it from behind and you end up getting the Ruv Basar and the Shedra, you know, the Shedra and the Mafrekas, the spine and the neck bone, so now maybe it's going to turn out it's not exactly identical. That's what the Gemara is entertaining. But I guess without any other knowledge, the Gemara is, it's a burden, it seems like there's a burden of proof on you to show that they're different. You don't just say they're two totally different institutions.
Why?
Well, it's in the service, look, they're both Chaticha Simanim. It's not just saying, look, you can kill the animals, there are a lot of different ways to kill animals. But the difference is primarily is that you're using your fingernail, you're using the knife. So I guess it's holding is the, essentially the way you kasha animals is by cutting the Simanim. That's the way it works by Ofen, by Behema, and by Shchita, by Malika. So it's just a different tool. But it's not... It's not learning that they're qualitatively different. You have to show, just because you see one difference doesn't mean we don't assume everything else is the same, unless you could show me an argument that they should be different.
And do you end up eating this?
I mean, we're not in the sugya, but I'm just saying is, apparently, this is what the Gemara is holding. At least the Gemara has to defend why it's different. So, I mean, you could come in and say, listen, I think that they're different institutions and why should you compare them? But it seems like you're wrong, because the Gemara is holding that you have to show me an argument to show that they're different, and there's an assumption that they're the same until you can show me otherwise.
I just understand that assumption.
I mean, isn't it just a matter of what's the given? I mean, there could be two ways of looking at it. You could just look at Shchita and Malika as the Torah is saying, it's two totally different things, and it's nothing to do with one another,
they're
just have to
different.
Act them to be the same. Well, the essence of Shchita is Chaticha, is a cut of the semen. That's what the essence of what Shchita is. You see, as opposed to Nechira, there's a lot of different ways of killing an animal. Many different ways of killing an animal through many body parts. And even the Simanim themselves, there are many different ways of breaking Simanim. You could do Ikor, which is uprooting them, or you could make a hole in them, which is Nechira. But both Shchita and Malika share in common that you're cutting the Simanim. Mm. So it's true, the tool that you're using is different, but the idea is you're using a sharp object to cut the simanim, and that's what kills the animal. So in terms of
they both involve a component of Chaticha Simanim.
Yeah, which is the essence of what Shchita is. Yeah, which is the essence of what Shchita is killing animal through Chaticha Simanim. So there is a difference that it's a fingernail or it's a whatever, but it's essentially the same. Now look, maybe there's something else in the sugya which shows why there's a strong argument you can make. You know what I'm saying? We don't know much about Malika. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know exactly what. Maybe like Kacholin borrows from Kachim, and therefore they have to be the same or essentially the same, or who knows, you know? But I'm just saying is, I don't see, you could have looked at them as totally different, but you say apparently the essence of Shchita and the essence of Malika is Chaticha Simanim. And therefore essentially they're the same, and if you're going to tell me they're different, I understand they're different that one of them is using the Kohen and one of them is using the knife, but there's an have to give me a swara to say that they're going to be different vis-a-vis the quantity of someone as well. So the Gemara is suggesting that there's a difference because the fact that you're also cutting the shadow on the mafrakas, therefore it's easier to die, and therefore it's, you know, but that's what we have to explain. My kids and Mulkin, how do you do Malika? This is in Vav Chav Gimel and Maaseh Gevanos. Kotzeitz v'yored b'tziporen mimol oref. So you like cut and push down with your fingernail from the back of the neck. Imrotza laholich alahavi molochumevi. If you want to go like just like a sideways like slicing action, You can do it. You have Rotsil Yos Do Reis V'Yoreid, or if you want to push in, I guess you can push side to side, or you can push your thumb finger in. Then you can do the Tzivah and Do Reis, you can do that. You can do either way. By a knife, by Shechita, you can't do that. Shechita has to be B'Nafka, you slide it. You can't push down. If you push down the Shechita, so that's one of the Psalm of Shechita. Drisa, Hadrasa, pushing down. Shechita has to be B'Nafka. So the gravity itself on the knife is purely a slicing action. It's no force. Any force down is a psalm and shchita. So the saying is by Malika, you could either go sideways and you'll swipe with the sharpness of your fingernail, or you could push, or you're putting pressure. Either one works. The nekru ha-simonim, and if the simonim get uprooted from their place, ein hoshesh, that's also a psalm by shchita. In the shchita, you can't uproot the simonim. It has to be cutting, slicing the simonim, not uprooting them. The chotech shedro mafrekes below rov basar, and you have to cut the neck and the backbone without the majority of the flesh. And chatach rov basar is a kameza. If you cut a majority of the basar, then it's like it's dead. Kodem shigil simon before you get the simon. That's you're doing it on a dead animal. Vitzarech lachtoch shnei hasimanim ba'olak shiyoreid. And then by an ole you have to cut both simanim. V'hamolik pesakin o minat stodim. If you use a knife or from the side, ain't a malika. Kamisha chanak onach. Then it's like you strangled it or pierced the hole. Right. Can't pierce all. The whole neck is good. Okay, fine. So it's like it has similarities, but it has differences. Apparently there are certain differences. But it seems like still the Gemara is assuming that essentially the Chaticha Siman by one is the same as the other, unless you could show me a difference. Okay. Yeah, the Gemara said, the Rambam brings down. The Gemara says, Zumei Avodas Kadosh Shel Mikdash. One of the hardest avodas in the Mikdash. Yeah, it's interesting. The Kitzar Ochez Bechatz of Bishas Mikdash, how do you hold it? It's just interesting. Ochez Shtei Ragleha Bein Shtei Etzba Osav. You hold its two legs between your two fingers. Vishtei Gapeha Bein Shtei Etzba Osav. And its two wings with your other two fingers. So I don't know, somehow you imagine like your maybe two middle fingers are holding its legs. And then your other two fingers are like holding down its wings. Right? Umotech tzavara el rochav shtei etzba'osav, and you somehow, I don't know, stretch out its neck, use it through the width maybe of your two fingers. You like to push down umolek. Izume avodas kasher mikdash. Im shana v'achaz yikal makom k'sheira. Okay, fine. So it's kind of I don't get exactly the picture, but something like it's that's what it says, very hard. Okay, fine. And that's about it. One more, so I can get them all. The Gemara is asking, is it the same? Could you prove, is there an assumption? We know this is the case by Malika, whatever by Shechita. The Gemara is asking. So let's read the Gemara's answer, and then we'll come back to this. It's a very interesting answer. I mean, it's another shot, but it's very interesting. Tashma, two lines in the bottom. Dehu bar avza. So there was like, I think it means like a goose or something. Dehave be rava. It's in the house of Rava. Asa ki mimasmes kue dama. So it came and its like neck was like all bloody. Okay? Its neck was bloody. So it has, apparently it had some sort of a fight with some other animal or something like that. And the Rashi says you have to check the simonim whether or not maybe it's a trefa. Because you can't shchit on if it's already a trefa. So if it already has a hole in its food pipe or if the windpipe is majority cut, then it's going to be a trefa. Right? So what are you going to do? So, Amarava, Hechinavir, what are we going to do? How are we going to check if it's a trefa? Neshchete, V'hadr Nivdike, if we're just going to do shchita on it and then check it, Dilma B'makam Nekev Keshachet. Maybe you're cutting, maybe there's a hole, and you're destroying the evidence. Right? The whole thing is, maybe there's a hole, you're not sure if there's a hole in the pipe. So what are you going to do? Do shchita and then check? It's too late. You can't do that. Right? Nivdike v'hadar nishchitei. So maybe you say, I'll just check it first. Amarava v'esha ein lo b'diko mi'bachot zel mifnem. He says, you can't check the v'eshet on the outside. You can only check the v'eshet from the inside. You can check the v'eshet from the inside. Because Rashi says, because it's a tiny hole, only make a thing. You can't necessarily tell a tiny hole. And the way you could tell a tiny hole is that you have a little bit of blood. But he says, the inside of the v'eshet is white. And you'll be able to tell if there's a little bit of blood on it. But the outside of the veshet is red. So you're not going to be able to tell from the outside. So there's no way to examine the veshet from the outside. So what are you going to do? Yeah. So it says, right, so they got a problem. So you can't check the Vesha. Right? So what are you going to do? How are you going to check it? It's got a problem. If you check it after the Shechita, or you'll be able to get access to the inside, it's too late. Maybe you're cut destroying the evidence. If you're going to do it before the Shechita, you can't access the inside. So because it's a normal animal, you don't have to assume there's a hole in the Vesha. But here you do, because you see it, it's bloody neck. So maybe there is. You can't just assume there isn't. Right? So what do you do? So Amar Le Rav Yosef Berei. So he came up with a solution. Nivdekei Lakana. Check first the windpipe. That you could check. How could you check that? Why could you check the windpipe? What? From the outside. And there, 50% is a trefa, right? So it's easy to see if there's a 50% hole. You just check it, right? So you check the kana. The nishchate lekana, and then you shech the kana, right? Then you shech the windpipe, 50%, 51%, whatever. If it looks right, now it's kosher, right? Now it's kosher. So be right, because by the vasha, by the bird, you only need to shech one zimun, so you shech the windpipe.
But the other zimun still can't be.
The hadar lahavchu halavasha, the livdekei. Then what you could do is then you could start cutting up the whole animal. You go to the mouth of the animal and you inside out the vashat. The food pipe, like you kind of stick your hand down the throat or whatever, so pull the inside out of the vesha.
Oh, you invert it.
You invert it, exactly. You invert it and you check it. Right? And you check it. Right? Okay. Yes, so it's easy, simple. Right? You just detach from the mouth. So it says, Amarava Chacham Yosef Bereba Trefas Kerb Yochanan. It says, Yosef, my son, you're a Chacham and Trefas like Kerb Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was like an expert in these kinds of things, or he's an expert in everything. So it says he came up with a great solution. It's interesting. So I'll get back to that in a second. So what's the point? What's he trying to show from this?
It doesn't matter which one you cut.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the Vesha.
Right, because you see, the Gemara wanted to know, maybe by Shechita, you have to bedafka do the Vesha. But you see, if you had to do the Vesha, you'd be stuck. This case would be impossible to solve, because you can't check the Vesha. But here it's saying, cut the Kana. So you see from this case, apparently the Kane alone works, and this is Shechita, it's not Malika. So you see, apparently, just like the Brisa was only talking about by Malika, but apparently Shechita is the same thing. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting kind of Chachma. I was just going to mention this. Like, this kind of Chachma it's mentioning is like, there's a certain like practical Chachma in terms of Psaq, of like coming up with like a Posek. There's a Chachma of a Posek to be able to practically come up with a solution of how to resolve a problem. You know, there's certain problems which you need a small svara to like come up with the right svara. But this is more of like a practical issue. It's like, how are you going to figure out? You're stuck. So you all the svaras in the world aren't going to help you. You have to come up with like a practical etza. It's a combination of the fact that you can do the kana, and then you'll be able to do the shechita, check the kana, and then invert it. And you know, it's like it's not. Apparently they were stuck. It was a problem. They didn't know what to do. So it's saying Chacham Bini, Rabbi Yochanan, is like a certain type of an insight of a posek that is able to. That's what it says. The Rashi says they sent to Shmuel. Shmuel sent to Rabbi Yochanan 13 camel full loads full of trefas, suffix trefas to check. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan was like an expert, being able to like come up with these kinds of things, or being able to find out whether the thing is trefa or not. You know. So it's kind of interesting. I think they say that about Rav Moshe, that that was part of his greatness, was one of his greatness, so that he had this ability to like a posek. It's not the same thing. Learning a sikh is not the same thing as a psak. Psak you have to kind of think of, it's like a combination of svaras, facts like across all shas, and like practical types of etzos of, you know.
Could have made a good team.
But we're back to, so let's just do the pshat here, just interesting. I mean, it's interesting because in a new area, you kind of got to get the facts of the area. So that's why it's good to take these opportunities to get the facts and, you know, familiarize yourself with areas, because as far as are only as good as our facts. So, fine. But so back to our question. So what would be the sort of differentiate to say that by Shechita, so punchline is they're really the same. They're the same, right? By both Shechita and Malika, one simon is sufficient. Either simon. But apparently it would be as far to say that by Malika, you could use either semen, but by Shechita you have to bedafka do the primary semen, right? The miyuchad shebisimanim, that which the primary chiyas is talia. Gives a big clue, right? Because he says that it's easy to kill it, right? that since it already has the neck and the back broken, so it's not dead, right? Because if we're dead, then it's too late. That's what it says. If you cut the majority of the flesh, it's dead. It's too late. But the saying is, it's like dies with azaleichlis of a kaldehil. It's like ready to die. It's easier to die. So therefore, even though it's not, I guess it's not a trefa yet. I don't know. Maybe it's trefa, but it's saying it's easier to die. Yeah, it's easier to die. Okay, therefore. The problem is that in theory, cutting either simen will kill it. Right? At least it'll make it a trefa. It doesn't seem to be as like what's the question here? What kills it? It seems to be definitely if you cut either simen, practically it's going to end up dying. It's just a question of, right? I mean, just look at the facts. It must be that the facts are one that she told you, just do with the best of the kana, and it's enough. Right? And presumably that kills it. You don't have to wait for a year until you cut the majority of the thing, it's going to die. So that's shrita. So it doesn't. What does he mean that since the raised neck broken, you could just do it with any amount will kill it. Does he mean it practically? I mean, practically, it would seem even by shrita, it will die if you do 1 7.
Not kaldehu though.
Well, azuchiyusa b'chaldehu presumably means its life will go out with anything. It means even with 1 7, even with either with the kana. Isn't that, I think that's the pshat, no? You need rove of the simen. No one's going to say that.
I actually do rove, but it means that its life is so fragile.
Oh, yeah, right. It could be. I mean, it's like very easy, super duper easy to kill it. So, therefore.
It's like parallel to before. Is that like a tiny hole in the vesha?
Oh, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say something. This is, I think this might be similar or different than what you're saying, Matt. But maybe it's saying less, and then maybe you'll go to what you're saying. I'm not sure. But I guess is that, what was the question? The question we asked today, what's the machlokas? Is that, and the outlines of the machlokas, is does the Torah, what's the gezeris, what's the halacha shem sinai, or whatever, saying that by oath, 1 simen is enough? Is it just saying it's sufficient to do a miktsas of shchita? Shchita is 2 simanim. And by oath, you just do 1, a miktsas? Or do you say no, that it's not just saying a miktsas, what it's saying is there's a primary semen, primary life of the animal, that which the chias is primarily contingent upon, and then there's a secondary. And the Torah is saying it's sufficient to do the primary. You don't have to go all the way. By behemoth, you have to go all the way, do the primary and the secondary. But by it's sufficient to do the primary. But it's not just saying a mixos works, it's saying is that you have to do the primary semen, the miyuchad shebesimonim. Right, or you say that no, shchita doesn't care about miyuchad. Shchita is like shchita, and any simon works. Either a mixas, there's 2 simonim, and a mixas works. Right. But now he's saying is maybe he'll say like this, is that in theory, really, shchita demands the primary simon. Because you're trying to, basically, you're killing the animal, and there's the primary simon in which the techias is taloi. Right? And then there's a secondary one. So the Torah is saying is that in order to do shchita, it's saying is you have to kill it through knocking out its simen, its simanim. But you don't do all of it, but you have to do the primary. It's enough to do the primary. But when it comes to Malika, since Malika exists, the way Malika is done is that the simanim are on the heels of the cutting of the neck bone and the backbone. Like, included in the Shchitichas Simanim is the neck bone and the backbone. So it's like the Simanim is almost like the finishing off of the killing. It's like you're getting it. The nature of Malika is that you're like weakening it to the point where you're ready to do the Simanim. So the Simanim come on like the final step of a process which makes it on its last leg. So then, since the Malika is like the finishing it off, so then the Torah says, even a mixas, any simon works. Because it could be that intrinsically, when you're doing shchita, so shchita is an action of an isolation, killing through chatichas simon.
Right.
So then the Torah says, you got to go for the primary simon. You got to go for the real life force, that with simon, which is really the primary life of the animal. But when it comes to malika, the nature of the death by simonim is the finishing touch. It's like a killing where the simonim finish it off. All it needs is a kaldeh when you get to there. So it's a process of going through the neck, getting to the simanim, and the simanim, it's not killing through the simanim, it's like finishing it off through the simanim. So when the role of the siman is to be gomer the killing, which already is on their way, gomer the process of killing, which is on their way, so then the Torah says it drops the requirement of the ikar siman, of the ikar chiyusa. Because the ikar chiyusa is when you're trying to create the process of killing through the simanim. But when it's really just the finishing it off, so then the Torah is saying it's sufficient to go with even the tafel. Torah doesn't demand the ikar. So it's saying it's the fact that, as the Chakira was, do you need to have the ikar siman, or is it sufficient with anyone? So just because you show me by Malika where the nature of the Chaticha Simanim is the Gemar, the finishing stop, doesn't mean that when you're doing Shechita, which exists in isolation as the Maisa killing itself, the Torah is going to say it's sufficient to do a secondary Simon. Could be there the Torah is going to demand that you knock out the primary Simon. You really have to go for the kill, and the Torah is saying is do the primary, and you don't have to go the secondary, but you still have to go with the primary Simon. Aye, Malika. Yeah, Malika is different because Malika is the finishing touch, and finishing touch anything would kill it. So now the Torah relaxes its requirement and says even a mikzas simanim is good. Any mikzas. Or do you say no, that really it's not because Malika? That's what Mars wants to know. Or do you say it's not because Malika is just a finishing touch, but intrinsically, as we said yesterday, in terms of Shechita, since Shechita is cutting 50%, or it's not just a little cut, Shechita doesn't differentiate between the two simanim altogether. And Shechita and Malika, the Vesh and the Kana are identical. It's true, well, there's primary Chiyas if you're just worried about guarding it against little necks. But insofar as the Maisa Shechita is concerned, there really is no difference at all between the Vesh and the Kana. So that's what I was concluding, that there is none. There's the question was, is do you say there's a primary and a second? The original question yesterday is, in the framework of Shechita, which is a maisa of severing a siman, do you recognize the fact that there's a primary and a secondary? Because primary, you could argue, look, there is a primary chiyos and a secondary chiyos, but you could say the framework of Shechita is really like a great equalizer because you're shechting the whole thing anyways. Who really cares? That was a question yesterday. So now what it's just saying is, just because you could argue, if you say they're really identical, the two siman are the same, Shechita makes them all equal, so then both by Shechita and by Malika, yeah, again, you do either one. If you say that no, there's a primary and a secondary, then you say, oh, so you have to do the primary. But it's what the Gemara is now saying is, even if you do say there's a primary and secondary, you could say that by Shechita, the Torah demands that you go for the primary one. But by Malika, which is just a finishing touch, where the Chaticha Siman is a finishing touch, then you could argue that the Torah will say it's sufficient to go for us even the secondary. Right? So you can't prove from Malika that really the two simanim are identical. It could be they're not identical, it's just that Malika, the Torah, allows for the lesser siman. I think it supports, it's true, what I'm positing is, I don't know if this is the maskana, but I'm positing that Malika really is like the Chaticha Siman is the finishing touch. And I'm saying is it's very good how the Gemara Rambam and the Gemara say, that's why you have to bedafka do it, that you don't cut Rov Basar. Because since it's the finishing touch, you got to make sure you don't finish the touch before you get to the Chaticha Simanim. It's because since it is a process of killing it, if you complete the process, if you actually cut Rov the Basar, you're going to complete the process before you even get to it, and it's after the finishing touch. It has to be the finishing touch. You have to get almost there, but it's setting it up where all it needs is a little bit. So all it needs is a little bit, then you could argue that even a minor simon is enough. But it's by Shechita, it's not going to allow the minor sin. That's a good question. Mark says, don't you have to cut over the five Malika? It's not sufficient. Right. But the answer to that, I think, is like, look, you can't do Malika. You can't do, let's say, cut the neck bone and the backbone and then just take a gun and shoot it in that. Right? Because then there's the way in which the finishing touch is Shechita. And Shechita means severing a simon. So what just saying is that it will allow you to use not the primary siman but the secondary siman. You still need shechita.
Can't you say that's a riot against?
It's a particular. It's using shechita siman as a finishing touch.
It's an act of.
I'm saying is that you have a process of malika, which is a process of killing it, and you finish it through shechita siman. That's the finishing touch. So the shechita siman exists as the final step of a process. So now it's saying, insofar as that's the case, the Torah could say that even the chaticha of the minor semen will be sufficient. It still has to be shlita.
Yeah,
shlita means cutting
that,
a semen.
That point. What I'm
saying is that it's enough. You'd say that it's enough to use the minor semen, and it doesn't demand the major semen by shlita, which is killing it through cutting a semen. So they'll say the Torah demands the major semen. But when it's a shlita which exists as the final step, then it says it's sufficient to do a shlita of the minor semen. You don't have to do the major semen. But the shlita of the minor semen is sufficient. But it still has to be a shlita, so you can't do a shibbol in the head, and you can't do a little nick in the thing, because then it's not shlita. So shlita means cutting a semen. So just saying is that you'll be able to select the minor semen as opposed to the major semen, because since it's only the finishing touch, it's sufficient to go for the minor semen. But where it's going for the Maisa Shchita in itself, it's going to demand the major semen. But this is all assuming you look at it as minor and major. But the Gemara's conclusion of Ibn Achlan is that since in Shchita, basically you're cutting the whole thing, so therefore they're all like, they're both identical. The next question is, the next Sugya, this is it. I mean, if you have questions, we can pursue more. But the next Sugya is a totally new thing. Tomorrow is a brand new thing, which is, let's say you cut exactly 50%, not 51%. What's the halacha of 50-50? Rove, is that in general? It gets somewhat universal, perhaps. But what happens if you cut 50-50? You need rove, but does 50-50 count as rove? We need 50.01, or whatever. So that's what you get. Mechza on mechza. Is that krov, is it not krov? So that's basically, we're jumping a little bit. I'm skipping the Vridim Sugya. So it's on Chav Chesem Abayis at the bottom, like 10-15 on the bottom, two dots. Okay, so today is a little confusing, there's facts, but it was built on yesterday. So if you weren't fully following yesterday, it's probably hard to follow today. But that's how it is sometimes. So tomorrow is about a new thing. So if you want to follow Thursday, then tomorrow's a good day to be here.
That's the